It's showtime, folks. Welcome in, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, Tuesday edition. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. It is hot as hell in here.
Welcome, man.
Willie comes in for an hour, and it's 80 degrees in here.
What's up? It's those weird, I grew up in the north, but my whole family's from the north, but I grew up in the south. Now I live in Tennessee, people that are just weird, and that's the hot, cold, cold, hot, cold, cold, hot, and so they're never satisfied with anything. Yeah, that thing was like Cecil B. DeMille close up on me, man. I don't need that.
But the people want to see
the farther back. Let's see, farther back the better.
So if you farther or further,
further. All right, so farther is measurable distance. Okay, like I got to go 2 miles farther. Further is to advance a point or an exclamation. Or
we are your grammar station.
We are, considering that I barely passed English in high school and college.
Me speak English?
Did you ever fail a class in
Latin?
In college?
High school.
Okay, failed.
College is a little bit of a different story.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Well, I told you, when I got to at McGavick my sophomore year, they switched the grading scale. So it went from 60 to 69 was a D.
Yeah.
But then it went from 70 to 76 was a D, 77, 84, C. And then so, I mean, I passed by the skin of my teeth.
I'm going to give, graduations coming up very soon, you know, for high schoolers and collegiate, you know. But for college kids for high school kids going to college next year, I'm going to give you a piece of advice.
Okay.
You're going to show up to class, and you're going to get your schedule and everything. And
all excited.
All excited. And you're going to realize something probably the first day. And that is that you kind of control – you have much more control than you did in high school.
Yes, you do.
And at 18 years old, you should not have that kind of control.
That's right.
Now, you're not going to realize that until later, but you're going to realize that you have control. And you're going to have a lot of professors that will hand out a syllabus, and they'll tell you the first day – now, some of them will be like, look, you missed 3 classes and it starts to count against you, whatever. You're going to have some, like I did, that have an evil smile on their face and say, I don't care if you show up or not. Just be here on test day.
Yeah.
And then that's going to register something in your all you're going to hear is, I don't have to go to class. I can miss this one. No, me missing one class isn't going to hurt.
That's right.
You know, and then that becomes 2 and 3 and 4, and the next thing you know, you've missed half the semester and you're showing up to take a test. You don't know what the hell you're doing.
The syllabus was the greatest thing ever because, like, oh, I got a test on Wednesday. But let me tell you what, we were required when I was playing football in college, we were required to go to class. I cannot tell you how many classes I went to absolutely hungover and like, why am I here? But I know, but I, if I went to class, I didn't have to really study that much.
Oh, yeah,
and so I would go to class, and then it was the same thing. It's like, hey, you know, I'm not holding your hand. I'm like, thank God. But then, you know, you get your grades. You're like, what have I done? I mean, what is it? So here's a question for you. And I know we banter about questions. I love the question that you sent us last night. It's fantastic. But one question that I want to ask you. If you could pick somebody to come speak at your graduation, who would you choose?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Unfiltered.
Oh, yeah.
To come to your graduation, and they've got 15 minutes to speak to your graduating class. Let's say let's do college, because high school is a little bit, because you can't get
dead started. Or alive or just
yeah, dead or alive.
Oh man,
Dr. Crane, you can weigh in too.
That's a really good one. I don't know. There's like, you know, the sports world, they're like the first two that popped in my head would be like Saban or Belichick.
Okay,
like, right, you know, that, but like a president, you know, a former president, like. Like, I mean, look, politics aside,
yeah.
I think Obama's a great speaker.
Okay.
Like, he's interesting. Yeah. So, I mean, he could be, this is a really good question. I don't
know. Because it's dead or alive, I would take George Carlin.
Oh.
I would love George Carlin to come speak at my college graduation, because the older he got, the more unfiltered he got, and he did not care. Yeah.
Jimmy Buffett.
Well, yeah.
Because he's so the anti, like, you know, college and like things like he's just have the good time. Like he would be fantastic. And I think he actually did that.
Yeah. He went to, I don't know if he graduated from Southern Miss, but he spoke at some other, it's on YouTube at Southern Miss.
Yeah.
And it was basically about pursuing your dreams, man.
Right.
You're gonna get told no every day. and just keep going.
We can spend, I mean, we're welcome to the Chase and Big Joe show where we go down rabbit holes.
Right.
I have a lot of my mom is a teacher and, you know, an educator, and I have a lot of thoughts, you know, now that, and I think everybody gets this way once you live it.
Yeah.
And like you probably can speak on this too. I mean, it took me almost 8 years because I was not a good student and I hated school. I did not enjoy school.
But you're a smart dude. You took you 8 years to graduate?
Seven.
That's only for idiots like me.
But I took time off.
Okay.
Like, you know, right. I'm just
yeah, if you went seven continuous, what's going on?
I was not Van Wilder.
No. Right.
No, I took a break.
Okay.
But you know, I had a teacher tell me one time when I was going through this. He was my favorite teacher in high school. And Mr. Barnes, who unfortunately passed away. But I went back to kind of see him because he was always kind of like just had great advice, and he lived his life. Like, he worked on oil rigs. He was a teacher.
Cool. Yeah.
His parents were professors at Vanderbilt, and he was on a racing pit crew, like he in NASCAR.
Just like Hemingway.
Yeah, I mean, he loved Hemingway. Right?
Oh, man. You know. There you go.
And so, you know, I was going through it, and in 2010, and I went back, and I saw him, and he said, if I could make one rule in the world, it would be when you graduate high school, you cannot go straight to college. Like, you go and you work, yeah. You figure out what you want to do. He goes, because here's the thing. I watch all you kids come through here, and at 18 years old, you have no bleeping idea what you want to do with your life. And that's okay.
So he sounds like the janitor from the Breakfast Club.
Yeah, kind of. Right. Yeah.
You can make really fun of me. That's fine.
Yeah.
But I know all about you guys.
Yeah. But, I mean, he goes, we put so much pressure on you kids, you know, that you got to go do this or you got to go do that. And a lot of you go with all this pressure and you flame out, and then it's worse.
What did he teach?
English.
Okay.
Yeah, he taught. He was great. So I had him twice in high school. He taught sophomore English, and then he taught creative writing that you could take your senior year.
Yeah.
And my favorite part of that class was there was the seniors every year did a day of silence. So you basically went through your day and you didn't say a word. And basically, like, he told the other teachers that, look, if you call on them and they have to speak, they can speak. But I want them to figure out how to communicate without speaking. And it was the most satisfying day I can ever remember, because it was just like, I just listened.
Could you text?
Well, that was, I mean, yes, but texting still, I mean, texting wasn't huge yet, okay. You know. It was getting there. But it was just a day of listening. Like, I just listened.
Wow.
You know, like, it was really, really powerful.
Or the chances of doing that today in class are just
no, minimal. But I mean, it was,
that's good.
It was really cool. So
well, I'm going to teach you how to impact on
but your I, life. But I agree. Like, you know, I went, so when I finally, like, was like, I hate school. Like, I remember, you know, we're going to talk about moms on Friday.
Yep.
I'll never forget calling my mom. I had just gotten my grades, and I was taking a break whether I wanted to or not. And I called my mom and said, hey, I'm coming home. And she's like, okay. And I go, no, I'm coming home. And she's like, okay, we'll talk about it. Like, she knew what I meant right then and there. And she left me alone until nice. I was ready to talk about it. And she said, okay. Well, you're going to work. And I go, yeah, dad's already, you know, I'm going to work for dad. And he worked my ass off, because his whole thing was he quit, never went back. And so he was like,
his boy wasn't going to do that.
Yeah. So, so I did that for about a year, and it was great. It was
good for you.
It was exactly what I needed.
You should get Mr. Barnes should be your speaker.
Yeah, he would be. He would be. And I wish he called the last time I talked to him. He called in the day that we had our 10th anniversary, and I was doing the midday show with Darren and Willie.
Yeah.
And he called in, and he was like, Steve, on line one. And I heard the voice, and I was like, Captain? Everybody called him Captain Barnes. And I was like, Captain? And so that was really cool.
What was the last thing he told you?
Just that he was proud. How proud he was. He knew. He was like, I always knew that you would.
They always
you
would do.
You know, end up doing something like this.
But, nice.
So yeah. Really
so cool. Now you got a choice between Obama, Buffett, and Mr. Barnes.
Barnesy would be a good one.
I'd go Barnes. I mean, yeah. People who live life, you know, that's the fantastic part about that. So it'd be kind of cool. I mean, that's the thing, because do you remember who spoke at your MTSU graduation?
Who did speak? No, not really.
I think for us it was Bart Gordon. I just remember because he's.
Like, I remember McPhee spoke. I don't. I'm sure there was. I just don't remember who.
Yeah, Bart Gordon's like 4'7". I'm like, he's so tiny. You remember who spoke in high school?
We didn't really have anyone in high school.
Right. Yeah. The thing is, you don't remember these people. You know, it's great that they speak. I think
Hardy, in high school it was the valedictorian and the whatever you
salutatorian.
Salutatorian.
What does a salutatorian do?
I don't know. I always looked at it as like, you were the second smartest kid in the class.
They're the ones that didn't have the octagon hat. That's what it was.
You were the first loser.
See, I can see Dr. Crane, who's your commencement speaker?
Oh, you ready for this?
Yeah.
Just putting it out there. Either it's Luciano Pavarotti or Andrea Bocelli or Kobe Bryant. One of the three.
Okay.
Oh, Kobe.
That's good.
Yeah.
Kobe would be good.
One of the three. I would love to have Andrea Bocelli as the speaker due to the fact that obviously he's blind.
Yeah.
But also he went to law school and he was a defense attorney for a good bit of time and ended up getting into singing, which opera singing. So yeah, it's a cool little story, but the stuff that he overcame is just what's more impactful to me. And obviously his music kind of moves me in a different direction. So
I should know this. Is Pavarotti still alive?
I'm too lazy.
My computer's
so.
Our text line is blown up. Morgan Freeman documentary style.
That'd be fantastic.
Leslie Nielsen for sure. 15 minutes of gold.
Because you can't tell whether he's serious or not. That's the best part.
Here's a good. So he says MLK Jr. and then he says Robin Williams. Robin Williams would have been fantastic. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely fantastic.
I'm telling you, if you've not seen, Robin Williams is so funny. There are two movies, Robin Williams, and I know everybody saw Good Will Hunting, but The World According to Garp came out in 1982, is probably Robin Williams' best work. I mean, it is an amazing, and it's apropos for Mother's Day. If you've never seen World According to Garp, I encourage you to watch it because it's that good.
Yeah. Craig says, word of advice for high school kids going to college, just because you make it to school by 7 for high school does not mean an 8 a.m. class is for you. Yeah, I agree. Like, I hated the 8 a.m. classes. And then he says, also, Dale Earnhardt Sr. will be my graduation speaker. That'd be
fantastic,
a good one.
Fantastic, yes.
That'd be a good one.
Yeah,
is that our question of the day? I'm good with it.
Okay, as long as you're the boss, man.
Yeah, no, I'm good with it. I like it because we've stumbled down a rabbit hole, and it's kind of, you know.
Well, I mean, I've just seen some. I was looking last night. I've seen some, like, Jim Carrey was fantastic. I think Hardy spoke at MTSU's this past weekend.
Oh, wow, that's
so
good.
That's really cool when alumni could come back and people give up their time to do this. So Chase and I and Dr. Crane would like to come speak to your graduation class if you'd like. We could chalk up a whole 4 minutes of what not to do in life, and that was all I need.
But you know
do.
What? You learn. Like, that's the thing.
Oh, yeah.
You learn. And, like, I tell people I was, when I did the show with John Burton on Channel 5 Plus last week, we were talking about, just kind of our journeys and everything. And he asked, how I started here. And I said, intern. I was an intern. You and Willie were doing the afternoon show, and I was the intern.
Yep.
And
I imparted wisdom upon you. I told you, I said, by the time your internship is up, and this is for anybody, make sure they're going to miss you.
Uh-huh.
So your internship came up. I was like, and I remember going to the gym. I was like, this guy, he can't leave. I mean, he can't leave. Give him a job.
Yep.
And then, I don't know. I mean, my first job at Channel 2 was the noon show editor making $6 an hour.
I'll tell the story coming up next.
Okay.
Because it's a pretty funny story.
I like it.
For sure. I don't know. I don't know what we're doing today. This is kind of
fun.
We're loving our audience.
We
had a plan, and the plan just changed. So that's what this is. Hal Gill will join at 9:30. Also, Bill Burr today at 10 o'clock. How about that?
Oh, I forgot about that.
Isn't that going to be cool?
Yeah. Bill Burr would be great to speak at your graduation.
Bill Burr would be interesting for sure. So we will do that. Coming up today, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game on this Tuesday. Hal Gill coming up in a few minutes.
Did we just become best friends?
We just became best friends.
I think we did.
See, I think about that, and then there's another movie. Is it like 100 Days of Summer or something like that? You know what I'm talking about? I got to look it up. There's a scene where...
Heath Ledger in that?
Yeah,
or is it 10 Things I Hate About You?
No, it's 10 Things I Hate About You. Oh. No. This is... there's a scene where, like, the guy finally gets with the girl he's been after, and this song starts playing, and he's, like, going through the park and, like, the whistling at the birds and, like, everything. That, yeah, so I'll have to look it up. But so we're just – I don't know. We're down this kind of, I guess, philosophical –
It's appropriate for the name.
You know, graduation coming up. So you asked about – you know, you were talking about internships and everything. So I did a – I was at MTSU. I had gone back to MTSU, and I was going through all the broadcasting classes, and it got to where I could do an internship. Now, my life plan was – No, I mean, and I credit you. I had not met you at this point, but, like, I loved watching local news and what you had done and sports and stuff like that. So I was gonna do TV, and so I'm, you know, but the first class that I brought, you know, one of the first broadcasting classes I took at Middle was radio. It was more centric toward radio, and so after that, you know, you can do an internship in radio.
Right.
So, you know, I had gotten advice from Teach Barnes and other teachers that were like, do all the internships you can. Like, even if you want to do TV, do a radio internship. And so I had kind of been looking at doing that, and had gotten to know Willie a little bit and met George through a mutual friend. So that was where I was going to be. And, you know, they were in another place at the time. And I had kind of had some conversations about that. And then they left. Willie ends up coming over here, and I ran into Willie at a Preds game and was, like, literally about to send stuff in. And he goes, wait on that, and then gave me Jeremy Benefield's name.
Yeah.
Said, reach out to this guy. And so I started interning here and with you and Willie. And, like, I was thrilled because, you know, I had listened to, you know, George, Willie, and Darren for so long.
Right.
I had watched you for so long. So it was, like, the perfect – internship. But I had this plan in my mind, like, okay, it was a 3-month internship, I'll do that, I'll just dominate it, but TV is ultimately where I want to go. 3 months was up, and Jeremy goes, yep, you're not going anywhere, keep going. So I did 3 more months, and, you know, then it was like, okay, when I'm done there, you know, I have that's good experience, radio's kind of fun, you know, I started doing a radio show at MTSU. You know, maybe I could do a little bit of both, who knows, but it was still, all right, TV, you know. And so the day my internship ends, I go into Jeremy's office to say thanks, and he goes, well, you're not leaving. Where do you think you're going? And I'm like, I can't, I mean, am I going to do 9 months of internship? And he goes, no, I'm going to give you a job.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh. And so I started doing part-time work, weekends, and my first shift was 6 a.m. Saturday mornings. Like, I had to be here at 6
That'd
or 5.
Work. Yeah.
At 5 on Saturday mornings to do the morning stuff. And we had some Saturday morning program. Chip Hoback was doing a show at the time. You know, and so I learned how to run a show.
I remember that.
Yeah, I learned how there was a hunting and fishing show and learned how to run that and everything.
What's that guy's name? Mike?
Mike Ridings.
Mike Ridings, McGavitt graduate. Yeah.
So I did all that, and – you know, that kind of morphed into I was filling in the daily shows and just all this stuff. And I'll never forget, I'm finishing up, you know, I'm in my last semester and I'm in the middle of class. The great Chris Clark, News Channel 5, is teaching my class. Right? I'm in his class.
Yeah.
My phone starts ringing or it's on vibrate, but it's Jeremy. And I'm texting him, I'm like, hey, I'm in class, I'll call you back. Well, he calls again. And I'm like, Jay, I'm in class, I'll call you back. He goes, I need you to step out and call me. And I was like, okay. So, step out. I go, hey, what's up? And he goes, dude, I'm sorry, I wouldn't call you in class, but I need you to plan to work overnights tonight and the rest of the week. And I was like, huh? He goes, this is your shot, I need you to do it. So I said, okay. So I did the overnight shift for the rest of the week. And they were like, this is going to be your – lead you into a full-time gig when you're done with school. I'm like, I can't do this every week. Like, there's some weeks that, you know, we have newscasts that we're doing and all this stuff. It was the election, that it was the 2012 election, so we're doing the election and all that stuff. And I'm like, I can't do it every week. So we basically worked it out where every other week I did overnights. You remember this.
Yeah.
You were doing mornings. Because a lot of times I ended up staying and working the morning show.
That's right.
After an overnight shift. But when I was going to I was getting ready for graduation, he goes, I want you to, when you walk across the stage, I want you to text me and say that you walked across the stage. And I was like, okay. So I did. He goes, congrats. Your full-time job starts Monday.
Whoa, look at you.
And that was when it began. And I met with him and Troy Hansen, who was our ops at the time.
Yeah, Troy. Hey, man.
And I did overnights. My first year was overnights. And so
pay your dues.
You got to pay your dues. So I tell all you young whippersnappers, like the one behind the glass, who has certainly paid some dues.
Right.
That's what you got to do.
You have to. And they all want to, you know, when I had interns and TV, like, hey, I want to do this and that. And I'm like, look, man, it ain't happen. If it happens overnight, fantastic. But, you know, my thing was, when I was at MTSU, I called Channel 4. Everybody wanted to work for Rudy. And Rudy's like, hey, I'd love to have you, but I've got like a waiting list of 8 people. I'm like, oh, man. So I called Channel 2 and like, yeah, we don't have a sports guy. Come in wherever you want. We'll give you your hours. I'm like, oh, great. And my first day there was the first day with John Dwyer. So I worked under John Dwyer for my internship. He was fantastic. I learned a ton. I should have paid John my tuition instead of middle. And I got out and said, they came to me and said, hey, you want a job? You can be editing the noon show. Here's $6 an hour. But my foot was in the door, just like you. My foot was in the door. I tell people, always keep knocking.
Yep.
Because they're going to open the door. And they're going to say, the reason I'm opening this door is because you won't stop knocking. Never stop knocking. Keep knocking on the door. It's going to open.
They had to buy a new one because of it.
Once you stop knocking, you're done. You got your answer. Never stop knocking. By the way, we got a ton of replies on our text line for different people. Somebody wrote in, Hulk Hogan, give your commencement speech.
Hey, I mean, brother.
Right now, the way he sees his life, I think he gave his life to Jesus. He's very open about that in the last couple of months. He'd be fantastic. You know who else would be good that we have on the show all the time? Chris Sanders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chris Sanders would be wonderful.
Oh, Chris would be fantastic. So I did the show last night, and Chris and Jeff Fisher were part of it, and it was I wish I had been able to go longer. Like, it was fantastic,
she said.
Chris is just I can't stand you. See, sorry. Kids, you work hard and this is where you'll end up. Working with a 12-year-old.
All right.
But I'm going to say this, and a lot of you have texted in. You know, I know you tune in to listen to sports talk and things like that, and we obviously do that. And maybe there's some of you that turned on and heard what we were talking about and just said, I'm going to go over the other place. And that's fine. But my hope is that there's some of you that heard what we were saying and it meant something. Because, I can tell you that, this is a time of year, of reflection for me. Because the spring is not a great time because I've lost a lot of close people during that time.
Yeah.
And graduation, things like that, you kind of look back, like, are there things that you wish you had done differently or whatever? I wouldn't change a thing. I mean,
not at all.
My journey to where I am now, I'm very, very proud of that.
Yeah, you should be.
Because it's mine,
Because you did it. Nobody opened a door for you. That's the thing. Nobody opened the door for you. And you, I remember real quick, and then we get to the break, there was a guy out with MTSU with, who's going to be a physical, a PA, physician's assistant. And he's quitting school. And I was like, what are you doing? He's like, he was 35. He said, by the time I get done, I'll be 40. And I said, let me ask it. I put it in my book. And I said, let me ask you this. You plan on being 40 anyway, right? He's like, well, yeah. I said, so what's the problem? And he just looked at me like I just dropped an anvil on his head. He's like, God, you're right. I'm like,
yeah.
Don't quit.
Yeah.
He's now a PA. He lives in Louisiana. I mean, it's the best. So don't quit. That's what I'm telling you.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right.
No doubt. All right, we will get into some sports. The Predators season comes to an end. We'll do one more check-in with our buddy Hal Gill, get his thoughts on things coming to an end. The Predators will have their end-of-season availability later on today, but we'll talk to Skillsy next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game here on this Tuesday. Appreciate the response in the text line. Kind of reflecting on things. But now we shift gears. We talk some Preds. Our man Hal Gill joins us now. Skillsy, I'm going to be honest with you. I thought that Our conversation today would be about a game one against Edmonton, but unfortunately here we are talking about what could have been and the season coming to an end, but appreciate you doing this. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, no, I'm still a little bit shell-shocked, a little disappointed. And you know what? I will say, you know, at the beginning of the season, I would have said, hey, we made it to the playoffs. We lost to a good team. And, you know, that's okay. You know, that's part of growing this new team that Barry Trotz is building. But they made me love it. They made me really kind of rally around those guys. Yeah. I wanted to see them win, you know. So it's more disappointing than I ever thought it would be.
You, in your career, you won it all with Pittsburgh, but you've been through different kinds of losses. Like, because I think there is such a thing. Like, you look back a few years ago when the Predators were swept by Colorado. Now, we didn't necessarily think they were going to get swept, but you knew Colorado was a much better team, and it just wasn't a fair matchup.
Yeah.
So how would you have felt as a player then compared to now in a series where you had multiple opportunities to win, and you probably – in some ways, should have won the series.
Yeah. Like, I think, and Bruno talked about the moments all the time, that, you know, just those quick, the game one, 12 seconds. If you take away that, if in game four, is it three or four? I feel like the Preds should have won that.
Four.
And, you know, and then game four, yeah. And then you look at, obviously, game five, you know, that's. I think you go back and forth and you look at all the moments that you could have locked down a win and it just didn't happen. But that's what part of being a good team is, seizing the moment and making those moments count. And I think that's what Vancouver did, and they got rewarded for it.
So a few years ago, Hal, Columbus made the playoffs. And I feel it was like 2017, 2018. Everybody's excited. And they got swept in the first round. They lost all four. They got demoralized and beaten down. Which is worse, losing that way or losing the way where you fought the entire time and you were so close to do that? Because I'm thinking, if I get blown out, I understand that and I'm okay and I move on. But losing the way the Preds do or the way the Preds did, that would drive me crazy in the offseason, Hal.
Yeah, well, you know what? The other thing you have to look at is I always felt like you're following that team. Like, how do you feel after Vancouver plays Edmonton? You know, is Vancouver just going to roll right through Edmonton, or are they going to get stomped by Edmonton? You know, like, I feel like when I was with the Bruins my first few years, every team we lost to went to the finals. And I was like, God, like, if we could just have gotten through them, we would have had a chance. And it doesn't work that way, but I think, you know, if you get stomped out and you're not a good enough team to even come close, then, you know, it's like, okay, we got what we deserved. I think the Preds are probably thinking, hey, we deserve more than what we got. But then you look at what happens after the series, and that tells you a lot as well.
I'm going to make Hal Gill the general manager for one day. Hal, if you are the GM of the Nashville Predators, what's the one thing you go out and get? Doesn't have to be a person, but maybe position or whatever. What's the one thing you go out and get?
I've been torn. I'm split in how do I want to do this? Do I want to go get a person? Do I want to go get someone? Or do I want to let the guys that I have, do I want to build them up? And, you know, you look at the core – I think you have a really good core right now. So you kind of want to build around it. You want to give them a second line goal scorer, you know, to get that secondary punch. But you also want to, you don't want to put in too many roster spots that you block out the younger guys that you think can jump into those positions. And then I look at it, okay, well, what if you trade some of those prospects and try to build a team, and can you build it now? And do you have a strong enough core that you could build around them to make them competitive next year? So I think Barry Trotz has got his hands full, because there's a lot of ways. You have a ton of draft capital that you can move. You can make this team good, and you can make them good quick. But I think by doing that, you limit your upside from building a few years down the road. So I'm torn between it, to be honest with you.
We're talking to Hal Gill, Nashville Predators analyst. And along those lines, and tell me if you agree with me or not, I think the biggest decision he has to make this summer is the future in goaltender, because Saros is going to be eligible for an extension. obviously Askarov is ready to come to the NHL and be a full-time player, albeit probably starting as a backup. So how do you look at that, and does that pretty much in your mind dictate the rest of the moves if you stick with Saros or if you decide to move on from Saros and give the keys to the car to Askarov?
Well, that puts your timeline back a little bit. I think Askarov, you're not going to bring him up and put him on, let him watch games. He's got to play. I think so. He's either in Milwaukee playing or he's with the Preds playing. And I don't think you go with Askarov and Saros together unless you're going to split their time and make them a 1-2 punch. But I think at some point there's got to be a decision made for the future with Askarov or for the now with Saros. And so I think that goes into what I was talking about is which way are you going to build this? Are you going to build for the future and let Askarov give him the keys, so to speak, and move from Juice? Or are you going to say, hey, we're going to go with Juice right now and we're going to build something big and it's got to be this year maybe or the next? And so that's part of that decision, I think.
We knew going into this that Andrew Brunette was a heck of a coach, that I think everybody liked this hire, knew what he was going to bring, you know, former player, 1,000 games of experience. What was something that maybe you didn't expect out of him that you know, was a pleasant surprise to you in watching Andrew Brunette in his first year as the head coach of the Preds?
You know what? I think there's different levels that I think he reaches. There's a certain level where he's so systematic in the way he wants to play and the belief in the way that if they push pucks and, you know, he talked about the possession game and how he wants to play. And he talked about activating the D more and making it kind of a 1-3-1 in the offensive zone and pushing through the neutral zone. I think all that stuff he really nailed down and he knows his identity and knows the way his team should play. And he held everyone accountable to it. And I think that's not easy to do. Like, think of all the little healthy scratches that Evangelista went through and working with Tomasino, working with Cody Glass, and working with, you know, like, he was really strong on the way he wanted to play and the way he wanted the young guys to play. And I think you saw guys figure it out as the season went on. And I think that's hard for a young coach not to look at the playoffs and go, all right, let's just trap it up. Like, forget everything I talked about. Let's just try to find a way to get a win. And that would have been easy for him to do. And I think he stuck to his guns and stayed with his system and tried to execute his system in tough situations. And so I was pretty impressed with that. And the other thing I think we don't really see the side of is how much he respects the players and the players respect him. And I think they have, you know, I look back to the goalie hug that he gave Juice. I don't think we see that from him too often. But, you know, I think he cares about the team, and I think the guys care about him and want to play for him. So that was something that for a young coach, I don't think is easy to do, is to balance that accountability with that caring about each other. You know, there's a lot of – I've been around a lot of coaches that don't really care what you feel. They will yell at you and scream at you, make you feel miserable, and you got to go out and do your job. I think Bruno has a good balance of accountability and that love for his players.
Hal, our question today is commencement speaker. Who would you like to have been your commencement speaker, living or you know, dead or alive? Who would you like to have come spoke at your graduation?
You know what? I'm going to go back, and I don't know if I can do this, but, like, I think Wile E. Coyote would be my guy. can I go cartoons?
You can do whatever you want, yes.
I mean, it's my commencement, right?
Yeah.
And I only say that because, you know, that was actually – I wrote that as my in my application for Providence College. I wrote that, and I'm sure they were riveted by my writing. As I was going to play hockey at Providence. But, you know, I think Wile E. Coyote, there's no person that has more perseverance and sticks to it more than Wile E. Coyote. You know, he's been through it all.
He's been blown up 1,000 times.
Going back to going back to Bruno's relentless, I mean, that's what it is right there. And I think that's what college kids need to hear is if you don't get it done, keep trying.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you next. If you had to go speak at a graduation, what's the one message you want everybody to take away from you?
Hey, if you're going to do it hard. You know, that's my number one go-to. And I always said my father, one of his was sayings, if it feels good, do it. If it feels real good, do it again. And so I think that goes into if you're going to do it, do it hard, right? You know, if you're going to go to the gym, don't pussyfoot around with it. Get into it. Go after it. If you're going to go to work, might as well be the best at what you do. And so if you're going to sleep hard, you know, and make it count.
Amen.
So, whatever you're doing, do it hard.
I love that. Amen to that. Hal, we've enjoyed these chats. I'm sure we'll catch up with you during the off season, but we'll talk soon. Appreciate it.
Yeah, don't be a stranger. I miss you guys already.
Yeah, no doubt. We won't. That is for sure. Hal Gill joining us here on the program, as he has done throughout the season, and part of our Preds coverage. Also, radio analyst, TV analyst, does a fantastic job. We'll hear from Barry Trotz and Andrew Brunette later on today, including the players. They're going to have a media availability around 4 o'clock. So I'm curious of what comes of that, if there's any answers. My guess is there won't be many, but a lot of decisions to be made in the offseason. We'll talk more about that and much more. Bill Burr at the top of the hour, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chasing Big Joe here on this Tuesday, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. You want to weigh in on our question of the day. Who would you have speak at your graduation, dead or alive? 615-737-1025. That's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We're also broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. A few texters have weighed in. One says, absolutely love this question. I grew up in New York, so for me it would be Mark Messier. I would have loved for him to speak at my graduation.
That's cool.
From Patrick.
That's a very good one.
Mess would be good. Love what he and PK do on ESPN. It's pretty good. Nate says, what a better way to get entered into the real world than to have commencement be led by acknowledging your tribal chief, referring to Roman Reigns.
That'd
be good.
Goodness.
Paul Heyman would be a good one, like for the wrestling folks out there.
Yeah.
Paul E. would – it'd probably be unfiltered and uncensored, but it would be a good one.
Yeah, Jeff Ross, probably not. Although, you know what?
I did watch some of it. It was totally part of it.
Yeah. We have – Jeff Ross was on this show with Chase and I years ago, and I'm telling you, the man couldn't have been any nicer.
He was awesome.
He was fantastic. And I understand what we're doing here, and he's like, you don't have to mute me or blur me out, whatever, but he was good. But, yeah, so, yeah, who would you speak at your graduation?
I want to ask Bill Burr if he's ever done any roasts. He's been a part of any roast.
Oh, I'm sure he has at some point.
What they're like and stuff. Because I'm sure, like, if you're a you know, certain type of comedian, like, I'm sure that you actually would be uncomfortable doing them because you're just up there to insult some. I mean, that's what it is, you know what I mean?
Let me read this one to you. Vincent from Dixon. If you guys are the grammar station, and he spelled grammar incorrectly, for love of God, stop saying he goes or she goes. He said or she said. Sorry, my dad drove that into us. He would say he goes. Where did he go? You two are incredible. Then I wrote back and said, hey, Vincent, you spelled grammar wrong. He's like, oh, my God. I said grammar, not spelling. You guys make my day. Thank you, brother. We appreciate you with all that. No, and that's the thing. I mean, if you have to go out, that's the thing. I mean, if you go out and give if I was a commitment speaker, I would say, all right, I'm going to give you 5 minutes and I'm out. Because I'm not doing the 20 minutes, because after 5 minutes, you're done. They completely tune you out. And hey, Dr. Crane, who was your speaker?
Yes, I had three to choose from, but I've narrowed it down to two.
When you graduated from Ryan, who was your commitment speaker?
Oh, I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't think we had one. I do remember the valedictorian, Candace Chin. I do remember her.
I think ours was, if anybody from the class of 06 at FRA is listening, but I think it was Dr. Frawley, who was our middle school principal, who had basically, we grew up with him.
Okay.
And so I think it was him, but I can't remember. That was all a blur. Like, because the morning of my high school graduation, my dad calls me and he's like, hey, I need you to stop by. And I'm like, Dad, I'm trying to get there and everything. He goes, I know, it won't take long to stop by. And I walked in and he's holding a guitar.
Oh, nice.
He got me a guitar for graduation. So I took it with me. I'm like, I'm going to play this thing. So I'm sitting there just like with nervous energy playing guitar. And I'll never forget this guy, one of my classmates who was a friend, comes up to me and he goes, dude, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm playing my guitar that my dad got me and just chilling. He goes, it's graduation. I go, okay.
Uh-oh, we got to
like, what is it? What is that? I mean, what does that have to do with anything? Like, you go do you and you leave me alone. Like,
nice. So that's where's that guitar now?
It's at my house.
Okay, good.
It's my favorite one.
Make sure you still got it. You know what's going to happen is that, like, Smith County is going to call us and say, hey, can we get Dr. Crane, the boss and Big Joke, and speak at our graduation? We'll be like,
$20.
I'd be more than happy to do it.
No,
we'll be like Beavis and Butthead, like,
It'd be fun. I would love to do that. Yeah. I would do it.
So if you're in desperate need of commencement speakers,
yeah,
you have the triumvirate of Dr. Crane, the boss man, and the big dummy to come out and speak to your class.
Michael in Madison says Dusty Rhodes would be a great speaker, too, for the wrestling crowd. Like, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. You know, follow your dreams.
Could you
imagine? Find a dream and shoot for the sky, baby.
Dusty Rhodes comes to speak at graduation. Half the audience has no clue who he is.
But they would be doing that. Right, but they would be hooked on every word because he's like, you know, I have wined and dined with kings and queens, and I have slept out on the alley and ate pork and beans, baby. I mean, he had some great ones, so. Gotta love the Dusty Rhodes.
I can't drink coffee while you're doing Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah, me, I can dream Dusty Rhodes.
I can't
Let's see. Other ones. Jared Stillman.
Read this one. Great.
The Jared one?
Yeah.
Jared Stillman. Listen to him go on for the whole commencement about how much our professors sucked.
You didn't learn anything. Nothing.
We don't have a right tackle.
That's why you got Google. It's free. It's right there. Now, Jared, how you gonna go do that?
Does this college have a guard?
A guard.
Oh.
They drafted a guard.
That voice of mine's like, Archie! Do all that. Chase, who we got coming up at 10, buddy?
Bill Burr, comedian, is going to join us. He'll be at Bridgestone Arena 10 days from now, May 17th. Looking forward to that.
The best.
We will get into – I mean, the first thing I'm going to ask is about roasts. You know, if he's been a – not the roast you eat, but, like, if you've been a part of any roast. So looking forward to that. Real quick, Debbie wants to weigh in on commencement speakers. Debbie, what's up?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, so I have two. I have to go with Mike Rowe.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Got to go with Mike Rowe. Dirty Jobs.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Grade school. Intelligent, quick-witted. And my second one, I mean, come on, Michael J. Fox.
Debbie, real quick, did you go see Mike Rowe 2 weeks ago when he came to Brentwood to the wine store?
No, I didn't, but I don't think I've missed a day of Dirty Jobs.
He's fantastic. He's a good man.
Yeah, I still remember who spoke at my graduation, so that's...
Who spoke at yours?
Ann Holt, News 2.
Nice!
She was great.
Where'd you go to high school?
She was great. St. Cecilia.
Oh, okay, cool. Nice. Yeah, you worked with Ann Holt.
I did work with Ann Holt.
The great Ann Holt.
She's great.
Awesome.
She's fantastic.
Thank you, Debbie. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Debbie.
Yeah, guys have a great day.
You too. Debbie.
Yeah, Ann Holt. Call. Yeah. Legends, man. All legends.
I bet she was fantastic.
Amazing.
All right, coming up next, we will talk to Bill Burr, comedian. We'll be here on May 17th. Looking forward to that. That's all in hour number two of the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.